Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Blessed and highly flavored. Praise God. You know, there's so many things that are going on right now globally. It's incredible. And so many people have no idea what's going on. They don't know. Hidden prophecies being fulfilled. Demonic forces are exposing themselves. People have no idea that the Antichrist is here already. They're still living in fantasy land. You know, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. People are caught up in religions and not truth. And one of the things that's going to really need to stand out right now, incredibly, is the area of truth. Amen? Everyone say truth. Truth. You know, there's so many things that the Word talks about in truth. In the world, we have lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. People are fighting for their lives. They're in survival. They lie, they cheat, they fight among themselves. Full of pride, arrogance. That's not the character of Christ. In the kingdom of God, there's an area which keeps us cloaked, and it's the cloak of humility. It keeps us cloaked where the enemy can't pick you up on radar. Pride always has a beacon. The enemy knows. Why? Because he sees, he knows the pride, and then you become tormented. You become fearful. Pride is nothing but a protector of self. Fear protects pride. Anger protects fear. And lying protects anger. And the Word tells us that those who are liars will not enter the kingdom of God. That's eternal. We're talking about eternal things now, not temporary things. And one of the things that people are looking for is witnesses. And that ain't Jehovah Witnesses. It's the witnesses of truth. Witnesses of truth. Truth. I think that was the most remarkable thing that has ever happened to me. I always wanted to know what the truth was. Everyone in this world wants to know what the truth is. So they jump from one religion to another religion, from a cult to whatever. But I'm going to tell you, if you truly are seeking the truth, you will find Jesus every time. I don't care what you're in. I don't care where you've been. If you're truly seeking the truth. See, we fight for everything but truth. We go after everything. We put our heart into all kinds of things, but trying to find out what the truth is. And when truth is manifested, we realize that truth is not just knowledge. It's a person. And that's what blew me away. Because the truth was a person. He was God. And he came into this realm. He took a part of himself and called him Son and gave him a name, Jesus the Christ. He would be coming in the fullness of truth and grace. And grace is the plan to escape. Escape what? The deception of darkness and the wrath of God. Would you turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 12? It's called Revelation for a reason. Chapter 12 is basically what sums up everything. What's going on? Revelation chapter 12. We got people in the bathroom or something? What, are they dancing in or partying or what? Praise God. Revelation chapter 12. Well, hallelujah, they're having a good time anyways. Hallelujah. Revelation 12, verse 1. Is everybody there? Again, this is profound. Look at, read this with me. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars, which, again, this talks about something, a sign in the heavenlies, in the skies. We know that there's 12 constellations. And again, the 12 constellations are written in eternally, in the stars of the story of Jesus, the testimony of Jesus Christ coming and dying and then raising up as the king, everything. And we see here that the woman comes in her feet under the moon. Well, the moon is a reflection of the true light of the sun, isn't it? Okay. And it says in verse 2, then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars. In other words, stars here means angels. He drew a third of the angels of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, we know that this was talking about Jesus coming into this realm. Amen? All right. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. In other words, he died and rose again, right? And where did he go? To the throne. Do we see this? Right now, look it. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. This is also associated with the rapture, where we are taken off the earth and we are in the heavenlies for 3.5 years. Why? Because then all hell will break out on earth. The wrath of God will hit the earth. Now look at this is where it explains here. He says, now, look at, he's going to give you a scenario, a summary, and a conclusion all at one time. It says, in war, verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Now, this place was removed from the throne room of God. So the dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Why? Because he's now the ruler of this world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. There is an area where dimensional ports will begin to open. And Satan's kingdom will actually be pushed from the unseen realm into the seen realm. And you can read in the book of Joel and so forth about how the armies of Satan are look like creatures, which will happen. In verse 10, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame the powers of darkness. Does everybody see that? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you. In other words, he's now in the physical realm. He has come down to you having what? Great wrath. See, God's wrath will be used by the devil. Does everybody get this? He will allow Satan cut loose. But the body of Christ will not be here on earth. Only those who are right with God will be removed. Only those who are doing the will of God will be removed. You can play religion all you want. The rebellious will not be removed. They will be left behind. Having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. Now when the dragon, look at this, saw that he had been cast to the earth. In other words, he's now in physical form. Is everybody okay? Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Now he's going after the woman, right? The woman is now Israel. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for times and a half time. That's another 3.5 years. From the presence of the serpent. Again, I want you to understand that this is a summary and a conclusion. So it overlaps what we just read. In other words, he's confirming. The word is a precept upon precept. It always confirms itself. So we see here again, it's going to be caught up by two wings, and those two wings are a representation of Elijah and Moses. Now, so the verse 15. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth held the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. Why? Because the other ones had been taken from the earth. After the rapture, many people are going to get saved. But they won't make the rapture. They won't make the removal. They'll have to go through tribulation, and they'll usually be beheaded or starved to death or take the mark of the beast and be eternally damned and separated from God. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So we see here, this is like a scenario, a conclusion, and a summary of everything that's happening. We don't fight flesh and blood. We fight powers of darkness, demons, unseen powers of darkness, principality. See, many people still don't know it. They don't even know what's going on. They don't know about Nephilims and hybrids and the testing laboratories. And they don't know that their government is associated with Satan's kingdom. They don't know these things. They are blinded and deceived, and it's going to take them suddenly. Just suddenly. Suddenly, all of a sudden, there'll be no more power. No more power. There'll be no more cell phone. You won't be able to talk to no one, anything. What are people going to do then? Amen? Think about it. They're going to try and call someone who knows the truth, and they can't. They're going to try and pick up the Bible, and they won't know how to read it because they won't understand it. They won't know where to go, what to do. That's why God has chosen you, because the next event is the removal of the church. There isn't much time left. Nobody knows exactly the day and time, but we certainly do know the seasons. Most people don't know the prophetic events that are even going on. They have no idea that Israel's the time clock of the world. They have no idea what's going on. They are blinded and deceived. They're still getting fed by what the world tells them through TV. They still want to be a hero on TV. They have no idea. And it's going to wipe them out suddenly. It's going to be a shocking moment. Even the word says that they're going to be standing there in such an amazement, and their hearts are going to be so wretchedly ripped apart because of grief and pain of what just happened. And that's coming soon. They overcame them by the blood of the Lamb that's washed a repentant, humble person. Humble means an individual that repents. A humble person is one that denies himself. A humble person is willing to admit forgiveness. A humble person. Washed by the blood. What? And a testimony. Well, let me tell you, if you haven't got a testimony, something ain't right. Then God's getting prepared to build you a testimony. Why? Because every believer that is truly seeking God and wanting to know Him has a testimony. And the testimony is how God has changed your life, either through visitation, through healing, through deliverance, through revelation, something. Again, we talked about transitions, that born-again experience. But many people have walked away from that born-again experience. They got born again, and then the enemy came and stole everything, and they've gone back to the world. We do live in the matrix. It really is. See, even the enemy has to prophesy. All the things that you see, even that seems sci-fi stuff, is actually real. If anybody ever, there was this guy, his last name I think is Canterbury or whatever. What is it? Do you know that he was an ex-CIA agent? Do you know that they know about all of these things? How do you think he gets all of this stuff to write about? Does anybody ever think about that? He's been there. People don't realize if you do research on all kinds of stuff, you'll find that they have magnetic things that they have created that can actually open ports. People don't know that NASA, our space program, was started through Nazi scientists. They don't know that. And why did we take them from Germany to come here? Because they had visitations, not from aliens, but from fallen angels that gave them technology. There are no aliens. Aliens are demons and fallen angels with technology. Washed by the blood of the Lamb because of humbleness, humility. We have a testimony. Every believer should have a testimony. But let me tell you, without humbleness, how can your testimony be good? If you're full of pride, how can your testimony be good? If you're a grumbler and complainer, how can your testimony be good? If you can't deny yourself, how can your testimony be good? If you live in fornication, how can your testimony be good? If you're rebellious, how can your testimony be good? See, your testimony is associated with your birthright. And many people sell their birthright for things of the world again. You know how many stars and movie stars and celebrities and rock stars have sold their birthright to be famous in this time, knowing that this is going to come to an end. Let me tell you, you'll be rewarded for your battle and your fight. You'll be rewarded to stand firm. You'll be rewarded. Eternal life is a great thing, man. See, we don't take this lightly. We must get to a place where we take our walk serious, where everything is about the kingdom of God. Everything is about maintaining that standard as a witness of truth. In John 16, oh, hallelujah. There is a stirring in my spirit that something's getting ready to happen, and people are going to get sucked into something that's going to portray a goodness, but it's actually a deception. And if we're not sensitive to the voice of God and the leading of the Spirit, people will be taken, deceived, misled, cause shame, cause harm. In John 16 and verse 12, read it with me. Jesus is speaking to him. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Why? Because they couldn't comprehend them without the Holy Spirit. See, many people can't comprehend things right now because without the Holy Spirit. Because we speak another language. Man, when you're born again, you're a new existence, right? You see things differently. You hear things differently. You speak differently. Everything is different. But the world doesn't hear you because they can't comprehend your language. You speak eternally. They speak temporarily. Verse 13. However, when he, the what? Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into what? He's going to guide you all into all truth. So that means you will know the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you what? He will tell you what? Things to come. My gosh. How many times has the Holy Spirit told you things that are getting ready to happen? How many times has he warned you, saying, if you do this, you know, you're going to be a real idiot. You're going to look stupid. And we tried to justify it. How many times has he told you, don't buy that? How many times did he tell you, don't marry that? Spirit of truth will guide you to all truth. And he doesn't interrupt himself. Never does he interrupt himself. Never, never, never. He's the God of truth, and he doesn't interrupt himself. John 8. So that means that we will be led by truth in everything we do. Why? Because we're witnesses of truth. It's the most glorious thing to know is truth. I mean, I'm still blown away that I know the truth. I don't have to seek for anything else. I found him. And when I found him now, there's this permanent relationship because we talk to one another. He's my dad and I'm his son. And this is an eternal thing now. So now there's no fear of death. In fact, I look forward to going home because I know this ain't my home. But people are still trying to make this place their home. But it's not our home. We live here. We have to deal with what's what. We do what we got to do. But our focus is constantly on eternal things. Constantly. Because we're about the Father's business, not the old man's business. In John 8:31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you what? If you abide in my word. You know, most, even there are people who accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior years ago, still don't abide in the word. And the devil ain't bothering them because he's already in them. He doesn't need to bother them. He's got them right where they want. Hypocrites. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall what? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Let me tell you, that is a true sign of a witness of truth. They're free. They're free. They're not bound anymore. They're free. That's a witness of truth. They're concerned about pleasing God and not trampling the things of God. Why? Because there's a true relationship. When there's a true relationship, there's a true witness. If there's not a true relationship, there's no true witness. People try to have a relationship long distance, and that's tough, isn't it? But a true relationship is a true witness. Everything you do, you don't want to offend him. And it's not because you're afraid of being thrown in hell. It's because you are grateful and you love him. You are so grateful that you know the truth. You don't want to do anything to interrupt your relationship. And so if you'll practice truth, because you know truth and you're being led by the Spirit of truth, you become a witness of truth, not a witness of deception. Remember, Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. His purpose is to keep people deceived, and he does that to anyone. He's no respecter of person. In Luke 16, Luke 16 and verse 10. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. He who is what? Faithful. 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 If you're full of faith, you're going to be faithful. That's an area of loyal. Loyal. God is always looking for loyal people. He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for loyal, consistent people. Loyal. King David made a lot of mistakes, but he was loyal to his king. Loyal. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Faithful. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal, that's faithful, to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, money. You cannot serve two. Faithful is loyal, being a friend of God. You are loyal, you are faithful to the house of God. You are loyal and faithful to the family of God. You completely trust in him, no matter what goes on. You know why people grumble and complain? Because they don't trust God. You know why people still fight for their lives? Because they don't trust God. I know God, I've been a follower of... Oh, shut up. It's not a person that knows the Lord. They don't know the Lord. Why? Because if you truly know the Lord, you're in a place where humbleness is a priority to you. Because you know that keeps you connected. Why? Pride separates you. Humbleness keeps you connected. Vitally important. Especially what's going on now. How can you be? Listen, you can tell everybody about Jesus and still be full of pride. You can still manipulate and lie and do all of these things. God will not. He'll try to convict you of it. Go to Psalm 49. But he won't interfere with your free will. You know, so many times, oh, Lord, I want to do your will. For 2 minutes. Maybe just today. That was a maybe. Oh, Lord, show me your will. But I don't really want to see it right now. Psalm 49. Witness of truth. Now, loyal is associated with being consistent. Amen? Consistent. Verse 5, would you read it with me? 49:5. Why should I fear in the days of evil when the iniquity at my heel surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast in a multitude of riches, none of them can by any means redeem their brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul it's costly. Well, who paid the price? Jesus. And it shall cease forever that he should continue, everyone say continue, to live what? Eternally, and not see the pit, because you're going to do one or the other. You're going to either see the pit or you're going to live eternally. Souls are costly. Jesus paid the price. There are many who are loyal to heathen friends and jobs and recreation, and not loyal to the family of God or the house of God. They're loyal to everything else but those two things. Everything else to them is a priority, or the fellowships would be packed every week. Every time the doors would open, people would want to be filled with God's Spirit and to hear what God is saying. Does everybody understand that? Because they're not taking their walk serious. They're only looking to get something from God. And when they don't get it, they get offended. Oh, you didn't hear my prayer. Oh, you didn't do it my way. Believe me, God answers every prayer. And sometimes it's no. Hello. Romans 5. And if you don't get an answer, it's no. So don't try to conjure one up. Or go to somebody else and ask them. See, people go to people to try to convince them because they can't wait on God. They're too anxious. You know why they're too anxious? Because I is still number one. Romans 5, verse 1. Would you read it with me? Therefore, having been what? Justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in what? Tribulations. Knowing that tribulations produces what? Perseverance or what? Endurance. And perseverance, what? Character. What kind of character? Boy, there's a lot of characters out there, let me tell you. But this is the character of an eternal existence living in me and you. Perseverance, character, and of character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured in our hearts by the who? The Holy Spirit, who is the what? Spirit of truth, who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Hello. Be saved from the what? Wrath. Why? Because God's wrath is coming. It's coming. Right now, judgment is here. But his wrath is coming. So grace is the plan of God to escape the deception of the devil and the powers of darkness that are preventing people from escaping God's wrath. Because they're deceived and blinded. Still playing with the demonic forces. Still reading horoscopes. Still reading tarot cards. Still going to mediums. Still dabbing into witchcraft, thinking that it's okay when God says he condemns those who do it. Why? Because they're trusting in darkness instead of light. Justified by faith. Witnesses of truth must have faith. You must have faith, which is associated with vision. Your faith is connected to the throne room of God. They must have vision from the testimony and the testimony from the vision. I'm going to say that again. They must have a testimony from the vision and the vision from the testimony. Why? Because that testimony is a vision to you. It's something that has never escaped. That's a part of your faith. That is a part that God implanted in you and your born-again experience. That moment you received Christ, things began to happen. And your testimony is the seed of faith for you. Something that you can hold on to no matter what goes on in your life. But if you don't have a testimony, ain't much to hold on to. Because God gives a testimony to everyone. But the enemy loves to steal things. Faith is vision then. In Hebrews 4. Hallelujah. Witness of truth. How many of y'all want to be a witness of truth? Yeah. Amen. Hebrews 4. You know, you think about this, that so many kids are lost, caught up in the world, caught up in the darkness, caught up in the music of darkness, and all kinds of other stuff. And the reason for that is because the parents don't know either. Nothing was transferred to them. Most of us had to go through all kinds of stuff to get saved. My parents were religious, but they didn't know the truth. They went to church Christmas and Easter, funerals and weddings. You know, I mean, that was it. They had some moral areas where don't have sex before marriage, but then they gave into that. Yeah. So in all of these areas, but there was no Bible that we read out of. We heard a couple of things thrown off the podium, and that was that. But nobody really understood anything. Of course, then everybody was drinking wine and partying and smoking, and so nobody knew what cursed items were that were bringing demonic activity in our lives. And I didn't know anything. I didn't know that there was a power of God that could save me and empower me to overcome demons, even though I saw them. And I lived a life of fear as a young child. Fear. And the demons, they had breakfast, lunch, and dinner with me. And I became a maniac because I had to do drugs then, supposedly to combat my fear. So I was so stupid, I didn't know if I was fearful or crazy because I was Gonsville. But many of us had to go there, and that's where the scripture says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and because you've rejected my knowledge, I'll reject you from priests, or I will reject your children. See, that comes down to family line. So many of us, not that we were rejected, but we didn't know the truth, the true truth. So we all went through all kinds of trials. We went through hell on earth, is what we would consider it, until we really found the truth. Hebrews 4 and verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Meaning mixed with faith. In other words, there wasn't an area where there was a seriousness of it. They didn't take it serious. They just, oh yeah, okay. They didn't take it serious. Not mixed with faith. See, if it's not mixed with faith, it's not mixed with vision. See, so when we hear things, it's not about memorization, it's visualization. That's why Jesus came. He didn't come and ask them to memorize. He asked them to visualize. That's why he spoke in parables, so they had a picture. Verse 3, for we who have believed or followed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day in his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of what? Disobedience. They rejected. Do you realize how much the world is rejecting? Think about this. Look at all, look at everything that's going on right now in the schools. And you can speak about Muhammad, Allah, and anything else. You mentioned the word Jesus. They're throwing kids out of school for bringing a Bible. They're making kids do essays or research on demonic forces, where some of the parents are rejecting that and they're expelling the kids from school. Why do you think Christians and Jews are being persecuted? Why? Because they're witnesses of truth. Muhammad didn't rise from the dead. Allah is nothing but a demon. These are all demonic forces that have portrayed themselves as gods. And there's only one God. You don't need multiple gods to be a creator. There's only one God. And that's that. And he came and revealed himself to me and you. And his name is Jesus. He's the only one that died for mankind. You never see that in anything else. No one died for mankind in any of these religions that they have out there. None. No one died and rose from the dead. None. But all those who are Christians are being persecuted now. And it's getting more and more intense. Even the president mocked the word of God at a pulpit because he's not Christian. He said this country's not Christian. He's Muslim. And people don't see that. They're pretty stupid. Is everybody okay? Matthew 9. But, you know, they're going to try and play racism. They're going to try and bring this racism stuff out there to try and cause division. But it's nothing about that. Because as a Christian, we don't see any of that. I don't care if you're purple and you have green hair. I don't know. It's pretty well looking, I'll tell you that. Get that person saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. They'll draw all kinds of people. Hallelujah. It has nothing to do with that. But they're going to try and promote that. It's got nothing to do with that. We determine by fruit, not by color or accent or anything else. It's fruit. That's what it is. And when you got someone that's lying, you know the fruit. Matthew chapter 9. Is everybody okay? You know them by the fruit. And it's amazing to me how many people voted for a demonic servant in office. It's amazing to me how many Christians had on their on the bumpers Obamanites. How many Christians, churches promoting it. Never looking at the fruit of this man. Never. Never searching it out. Just looking for something that says, I'm going to give you all of this. Sounds like the devil to me. Didn't he do that to Jesus? If you worship me, I'll give you this. He was no different. I'm not going to get into all that, but anyways. I could be here till tomorrow. Then people try to make excuses for, because they're blinded, they're deceived. They have no idea what they did. And you know what? Okay, abortion, promotes same-sex marriage. Okay, there's two fruits right there. That's enough. Two is a witness. That's enough to let me know you ain't right. Amen? That should be enough. You don't have to look at all the lies and the deceptions and how much money and trying to bankrupt this country. You don't have to look at all the other stuff. You can just look at the two fruits. That's it. Same-sex marriage and murder of young children before they're even born. A promotion of that. And believers, so-called Christians, voted for him. And you know what? Blood is on their hands. And they have no idea how much blood is on their hands. Matthew 9, we there yet? Verse 28. Hallelujah. verse 27, I'm sorry. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him. That's pretty amazing. That was a miracle in itself. Hallelujah. Two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, Yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, let it be to you. According to your what? Faith, according to your vision, let it be to you. See, when you're serious, you see. You watch to see. You watch to see. You watch to see. You wait to hear. You watch to see. You wait to hear. Why? Because you're serious about this. You know that this is about life and death. You know this is truth. And as a witness of truth, you wait to hear. And you watch to see. Because this is real. This is not a fantasy. This is not a fairy tale. There are demonic forces that are killing people, deceiving people, possessing people, causing harm. There are dimensional ports that have opened. Demonic forces are coming in. There are UFOs, which is nothing but technology of Satan's kingdom. They're all there. You cannot hide it. You cannot erase it. And when you turn from one way, it'll come in front of your face another way. Because you're in it, we're in it, we live in it. And the world needs witnesses of truth to come out of the matrix. Habakkuk, chapter 2. Verse 1, I will stand my watch. I will set myself on the rampart. I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak and it will not lie. It will speak at the end. Though it tarries, what? Wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Watch and see. Wait and hear. In other words, as a witness of truth, we must be able to do these things. To watch and see and wait and hear. He says, write it down. See it. Trust. Testify. We must put all things in proper order as a witness of truth. Everything is always in proper order. It's called divine order. You pay God's bills, he pays yours. Hello? You make things right. You tithe. You offer. You sustain your, you make your vows. You do what you're supposed to do. God makes his. See, so many times we're waiting on God when he's saying, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. Tighten up. You know what you're doing. You know you're lying. You know you're deceiving. You know you're buying things and doing. You're putting everything before the kingdom. He knows. Hebrews 6. Witnesses of truth. Hebrews 6. It's not near Habakkuk. in verse 1. Would you read it with me? Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from what? Dead works. Those are works without faith. And of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of the eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and berries, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Again, in this, he's saying, move on. You know, either we're going backwards or we're going forward, one or the other. Even when you are still and you don't know, as long as you're not going backward, you're going forward. Has everybody got that? Even when things seem like nothing's happening, you're still going forward. Why? Because you're now waiting to what? Hear. This is where sometimes God, you know, so many people, oh, nothing's happening. This is where he's saying, are you going to trust me? Because if you're relying on everything around you and everything that I'm going to do, are you truly trusting me? And you see, so many people are waiting for something. And everybody should be waiting for something. We're waiting to hear. But when we don't hear, when things seem blank, it doesn't always mean that you're going backwards. It means you're being tested by God. Has everybody got it? You're being tested by God to find out if you're going to hold on. You know, so many times people quit their jobs when God bless them with that job. And the enemy convinces them in the mind. They say, no good. They start grumbling, complaining. I ain't making enough money. And God has such a plan for them in that job to prosper that the enemy has convinced them to get out of position and they miss the blessing of the Lord. And it could have been a powerful blessing. So many times, things look weird, bad, don't feel good. You better stand and stay. Because God is testing you whether you're going to trust him. Because he can make anything turn to the good. He can take anything and prosper it. He can turn anything he wants. He's just looking for someone who's faithful, who's loyal. That's all. He's looking for that. Why? Who is willing to be a witness of truth. Not a witness of self, just a witness of truth. He wants to reflect off of each and every one of us and express himself, and he's very good at it. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 14. Let's read 2 Peter 14. Okay. Let's read it together. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You ever talk to someone that's always twisting what you're saying? That's not the spirit of truth. It's multiple spirits. They twist it. They reject correction and they twist what you're trying to say because it's a demon and they think they're okay, but they ain't. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own what? Steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes. Go to Luke 7. You know, one of the things the enemy does is once he has you, you know, I'll tell you what I'm seeing tremendous amount is the spirit of Judas. I see it tremendously. Why? Because as Jesus gets closer, the spirit of Judas manifests. I see it tremendously. Luke chapter 7. You know, what does the word say? In the latter days, many will fall from the faith, taking heed of what? Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And if you promote it, you approve it, the blood's on your hands. Luke 7. Is everybody there? In verse something. Verse 50. Look at, I love this. He said to the woman, "You're what? Your faith has what? Saved you. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you." Why? He's saying your trust in me has saved you. Your loyalty to me has saved you. In another scripture, we see that in Luke, you don't have to go to Luke 8, 48, it says, "Your faith has healed you." And then in Luke 8, 25, it says, "Where is your faith?" Jesus rebukes him, saying, "Where's your faith? Where's your connection with me? Where's your trust in me? Where's your loyalty to me? Why are you still loyal to yourself and not loyal to me?" James 1. Verse 2, we've heard this multiple times. My brethren, do what? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Not if you fall, when. Knowing that the testing of your faith, again, he will test you to see if he's your everything. Because if he's not your everything, then you ain't serious. Faith produces patience or what? Endurance, because you're connected. No matter what goes on, you're going to hold on. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Then you're not lacking nothing. Why? Because you know he's going to provide whatever it is. You don't let go. You grab hold. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in what? Faith, in sincereness, in loyalty, because you can see it. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. You know why a lot of people don't get stuff from the Lord? Why, the way they want it, whatever, because they don't ask in faith. They don't ask according to his word. They ask out of the desires and the dictates of their carnal heart instead of out of the desire of the spirit. For that person, he is double-minded, unstable in all of his ways. Unstable. We want to be witnesses of truth. Then we ask in faith. We are serious about our walk. We are serious. Jesus, of course, was the greatest witness, wasn't he? He bore witness of the truth. That's why he came. In fact, there's going to be two witnesses left here on the earth. And they'll be witnessed, the two witnesses in Jerusalem. In Mark 16. Mark 16. In verse 15. Would you read it with me? He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe," and the word believe means what? Follow, "will be what? Condemned." See, there's something about a witness of truth will believe the word. You know, that was the first thing that happened to me with my visitation from the Lord. The first thing he said is, "My word is truth," because I never believed this. I thought it was a story, and it is true. And he who follows will be saved, but he who does not follow will be condemned. These signs will follow those who follow. In my name they will what? Cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and they will drink anything deadly. It will by no means hurt them. It doesn't mean you're going to go out and siphon cars and test God. Or you're going to pick up a rattlesnake and say, ha, 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 because he's going to bite you and you're going to die. It's called testing God. There's a lot of granolas out there, nutty and fruity. They're out there dancing with serpents. That's not what God said. Drinking cyanide. And you can drink anything deadly. Now you, look at, I've used this scripture multiple times when I've eaten something and I found out it was rotten. I could have been really sick and I didn't get real sick. I made a taste, whatever, but, and I've seen people get dreadfully sick from poisoned food or something they drank or whatever. And it says it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will what? They will recover. What? Those are signs of a witness of truth. And I want to close in Revelation 22. Hallelujah. Revelation 22, verse 12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to what? The tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters. Whoever loves and practices a lie, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. And what is he saying? Come, come, come and be my witnesses of truth. Let me express myself through you. Come. But there is a price to pay. It's costly. And we must constantly deny ourselves. Pick up the cross, follow. Be faithful, be loyal, and fulfill your mission. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And we ask, Lord, that not only you would protect us and let it grow and bear fruit for your glory, but you would bring revelation to your people in every area. And those who are not serious, Lord, that they become serious. And those who are drifted from you and away from you, that you draw them to you. I pray that each and every one will maintain a humble spirit and be willing to do whatever it takes to fulfill their mission here on this earth, for it is such a short time compared to eternity. As I bless your people here in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.